So we're into this series on, rather than getting into the whole thing of healing, I just felt we need to refresh on what the kingdom is all about and what God has invited us into. And so we started that about 2 weeks ago. And this week, with the number of people away, what we're doing is it's going to be a team teaching. Tab's going to be helping me out as well as Patrick Kilborn right over there. And so there's one passage I want us to focus on, and then we're going to also like do sort of clinic type stuff, right? Because if we just lecture, right, that's all that is. But to be able to actually walk it out and to see what is this all about. When I did the first teaching back on April the 22nd, there was a passage from John 5:17 to 19. Just it was those two verses actually, where Jesus said, "My Father is always working. I just join him in what he's doing." And then Jesus went on to say, "On my own, I can't do anything." You hear what Jesus is saying, right? Right? Because this is Jesus talking. And Jesus is saying, "On my own, I can't do anything." Now, that's in relation to the kingdom, in bringing the kingdom. And Jesus is saying, "On my own, I can't do anything. I can't. Now, what was the context behind all of that? Well, here was the context. Jesus and the disciples had headed into Jerusalem because it was a Jewish holiday. It was a Jewish holy day. And when they entered into the city, but not inside the temple area, there was a pool. And the pool, the name was Bethesda, but the pool was there because, and it was notable because people who were lame or dealing with any physical infirmity, any sickness, they would hang out by the pool as close as they could because, as John writes in his gospel, whenever the pool bubbled up, first one in got healed. I know that sounds sort of like, well, that's not fair, because if you're faster, that means I don't have a chance. Well, basically, that's what it was like. Anyway, Jesus ventured into that pool area, and I'm guessing some of his disciples did as well. And there was a man that was there, John notes, who had been sick, John writes, for 38 years, trying to get healed. And he could never get healed because when it bubbled, he wasn't able to get fast enough into the pool, really. That's what was going on. Jesus goes up to him and says, and he asks an interesting question, considering where they were, but he asks the guy, he says, "Do you want to get healed?" Guy says, "Yeah." So Jesus goes, he didn't push him into the pool. Jesus goes, "Well, get up. Pick up your mat, walk, get going." And the guy did. Now, that's the context of the story, but that's not the whole point of the story. The whole point of the story is that the religious leaders and the priest, there was some there, maybe one or two or three, they were ticked with Jesus because it was a Sabbath day, it was a holy day, and a special holiday, and the Jewish law says you can't work, and healing is work. So their question to Jesus was, "Why are you working on the Sabbath, breaking the law?" Hence Jesus saying, "Well, hold on a second. My Father is always working, and I just join him." Jesus is basically saying, it's not me. My Father's always working. If he works on the Sabbath, I just join him on the Sabbath. And so that's why I'm healing. And then Jesus says to them, "Understand, on my own, I can't do anything. I only do what I see the Father doing. That's all I do." And so from that, two truths for us. One, for as far as the kingdom goes, one, God is always working. So here's reality. Was God present today in our midst? Yes. Was he working? Yes. Is he? Yes. The other thing, is there anything we can do to make that happen? No. No. We just look for where the Father's moving, and we join him. Now, real quickly before I hand this over to Tab. So Friday, this I'm a question guy. Does anybody ask a lot of questions in their head as well? Or is it just me? One, two, good. At least there's two. Whoa, starting to feel like I'm... So this question rolled through my head was, so if God is always working and I can't do anything on my own when it comes to the kingdom, why did Jesus tell the disciples to go into all the world and make disciples? That's doing. This is what's going through my head, okay? Just track my head. Also, Paul says in one of his letters that unless somebody gets sent to go tell people the good news, they won't hear, and if they don't hear, they don't believe. So it's like so we're needed, but we're not needed. What's the deal there? And I asked the Lord. I said, God, well, I don't quite totally understand. And I heard nothing. So I went about my day. And yesterday morning, I'm having my quiet time. I have that. It's important to have quiet times. Otherwise, sometimes you won't hear what God's saying to you or what God is doing. You got to pay attention. And just in my regular reading, one of my readings is in 1 Thessalonians. It's a letter to a church in a city called Thessalonica. And in the second chapter, I read Paul's words that say, I have to do this by memory because this won't stretch that far. Paul says, no, I'm going to butcher it. Paul says, what does Paul say? For he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. And I'm reading the chapter, but I just get through that, and my brain goes, back up. That's why we join God in what he's doing. Because he wants to share his kingdom with us. He wants you to have the thrill he has seeing people restored, healed, seeing people brought into the kingdom. He wants you to see that. He wants you to experience it. And that comes out of a heart of love. That's why he invites us to join him in what he is doing. It's not a matter of that you can't do it or he is unable to do it and he needs us to help. Nothing to do with that. It's everything to do with a father who says, I want you to come and join me. And we as like little kids can toddle over and pretend and, you know, just be with him as he's doing his thing amongst people. That's what we get to do. But the key there, of course, is listening. And that's a whole another challenge. So Tab and I were chatting, and she was telling how she teaches the kids, and it's like, gosh, teach us.
So right off the bat, I need every single child in this room to come on up to this section over here. Adults, you're welcome. I have enough for all of you, I'm pretty sure, if you want to. So come on up. Isabel, can you help with manage this? Grab a booklet. Grab something to write with. There's crayons or pencil crayons. Grab a booklet. Don't forget to put your name on it. So one of the things that I do as I'm getting ready to teach the kids is I give them a notebook. And on the front, it has a scripture from Habakkuk. It says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am going to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So I encourage you guys, you've got pieces of paper, all of you, either on your seat or behind your seat, and pens. We are going to engage our childlikeness this morning. Okay? So if you want a book, lots over there. Chris? All right, boys and girls, once you have your books and your pens or crayons, I need you to find a place on the floor, anywhere, boys and girls, that there is carpet and nobody's sitting there. Find a place to just lay down and quiet yourself. The first thing that we teach the kids is to be still and know that I am God. And often, when we got our eyes open or we're paying attention to our friends, we can get easily distracted. So this morning, I've asked Chris to play just a little bit of background music, because that's usually what we do with the kids. Find a place on the floor, somewhere where you're not going to be distracted. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got lots of seats in this space. So if you need to get up and move to a different area in this sanctuary, go right ahead. All right. Boys and girls, I need your ears so that you can listen to Miss Tab. Awesome. Those of you who know what to do, just get yourselves ready. Awesome. Beautiful Lily. Okay, it's starting to get hot in here. Come, Holy Spirit. The first thing that Scripture tells us is that we were created by God for a relationship with God. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you just close your eyes. Don't look at me. It has nothing to do with me. He's given us eyes to see, ears to hear, minds that think, and hearts that feel. Scripture says in Revelation 1:15, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. His voice is loud, it's rushing, and it's always flowing. John 1:1-14 says, one of God's names is the Word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Through him all things were made, and nothing that was made that was not made through him. He is the Word. John 8:47 says, he who belongs to God hears what God says. John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Deuteronomy 30:14, the Word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart, so you may obey it. God gives us a promise in Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The voice of God is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic, according to Psalm 29:4. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active. Psalm 12:6, the word of God is flawless. Psalm 119:03, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119:130, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Psalm 119:160. All your words are true. Boys and girls, we're going to go over how God speaks right now. One of the ways that Scripture says that God speaks is through the audible voice. It's out loud. It sounds like my voice does right now. One of the other ways that God speaks is the inner audible voice. It is clear and loud, but it's inside of you. We sang a song, "Jesus, You Are the Whisper of God." God often whispers into our hearts and our minds in a very still, small voice. God can speak to us through spontaneous thought, like a light bulb going off, or a feeling or impression, something that you just, you know, you feel it. I feel like God might be saying. God speaks to us in a knowing. I don't know how I know, I just know. He speaks through the scripture, and the scripture comes alive. He speaks through other people when they say or do something, and you know that God is speaking to you through them. He also speaks through signs, mysteries, colors, numbers, and even more that I can't even scribe down. Or pictures. He'll speak to your imagination through your vision, your dreams, or pictures in your mind. Sometimes God uses nature to speak to us, or art, dance, song, poetry. And God has even used a donkey to speak to a man. Boys and girls, lying down on the floor, stilling yourselves now, lying down on your backs, just like you've been taught, stilling yourselves. We're going to activate our picture place, our imagination, and we're going to invite God to come and speak to us. When I'm teaching this to the children, I get them to picture a frog. Now, usually I would wait for every child to catch up, but we don't have that luxury this morning. So ladies and gentlemen, picture a frog. When you got that picture in your mind, just quickly raise your hand. Awesome. Your imagination is active. Boys and girls, picture your bedroom. Awesome, you got it. Great. Now I want you to invite your friend with you. Let's say at the park. When you got that picture, put your hand up. Awesome. The next thing that we do is, let's imagine there's a trampoline there and you guys are going to jump up and down on the trampoline together and you're laughing. Tell me when you hear your friend's laughter. Good job, boys and girls. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're having trouble with that, picture your dear one, someone that is near and dear to you, and you're in a conversation. When you can hear their voice, raise your hand. Awesome. That is the picture place, is where God paints stuff. Movie pictures can come up, or photos, memories. And then in that still small voice that you heard of your friend, that is where you'll often hear the still small voice of God. And it often sounds like your own voice. Okay? When I teach the children this, I tell them that we're going to pray and ask God to come speak to us. So we're going to trust the Lord. Trust is faith. And we're going to believe that His voice is going to be louder than any other voice we can hear. And we're not going to compare ourselves to anyone else, because comparison only finds lack. The next thing that we do is we invite the Holy Spirit. So everybody laying down. Laying down, everyone. Lay down on your back. Ladies and gentlemen, if you could lay in your, just lean in your chair. Just lean back so you can feel that support of that chair and just relax. What we're going to do now is we're going to do a mental scan from our head to our toe as though you were in an MRI machine. And you're going to scan from your head to your toe and you're going to decipher, what am I feeling? Am I cold? Am I hot? Am I anxious? Am I at peace? Then you're going to say, feel, what does the room feel like around me? The air, is it passing by my, am I feeling a breeze right now? And if you're going to sense the chair underneath you or the ground, what am I feeling? Does it feel solid? Is it uncomfortable? And then when you're ready, either out loud or in your heart, just ask the Holy Spirit to come. Say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And now I want you to scan your body again. Do all those checks you just did. What's different? For some of you, maybe your breathing has changed. It's gone from fast to slow. Some of you might be feeling like you're sinking into your chair or the floor is you're sinking into the floor. You may feel a little heavy. That heaviness is called the weight of the Lord. It's called His glory. Now in this place, we ask the Lord questions. Go ahead and ask God, Lord Jesus, what is one thing you love about me the most? Once you've got that, write it down. If you're confused by what he said to you, ask him another question. Or sometimes we'll go and we'll say, why? Lord, why is that that you love this about me the most? So you can ask that question right now. I'm going to take a moment. How many of you guys had heard something? Just raise your hand if you heard something. Was it encouraging? If it was encouraging, keep your hand up. When we do this, I also teach the children that there are three voices that can speak to you. One is the voice of God. The other is the voice of Satan, and the other one, the kingdom of darkness. And the other one, the third one, is yourself. So how do we check what it is that we're getting? This is why we write it down. John 4:1 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. God confirms his word through the scripture. Galatians 1:8 says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Number two, he confirms his word by his own nature. But the wisdom of God that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That comes from James 3:17. He confirms things by an inner witness. 1 John 2:27 says, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." The fourth thing is that he confirms it through his own fruit, a fruit inspection. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, according to Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. In the checks and balances, the thing that you heard, does it line up with God's word? Does it line up with his nature? Does it line up with all of the other checkpoints I just said, the fruit of the Spirit and your inner witness? Is there anybody that would like to share what they heard? Any of the kids? Okay, well, I'll tell you what I heard. Oh, good. Come on up, Bruce. Okay, really loud. Did you ask why? I'm having difficulty with that, Lord. Why do you say that? What did he say? Awesome. What did he say? Anybody else? Go ahead. That's fair. Then both do come. As you practice this, that's why I get the kids to write it down, because we look over their stuff, and as you practice this more and more, the keenness, the sharpness of the Lord's voice to you is so real. It's what I've done for years. So the Lord said to me, and I've never heard this word before, so I was a little like, oh. "I love your steadfastness, Tab." Like, sweet, why, God? "Because you hold on to me and you never let go." What I do next with the kids after practicing this often is we ask them then to listen outwardly. God, when he speaks to us, he speaks for friendship. He speaks to us for direction. God speaks to us for inner healing. And he also speaks to us for others. So this morning, what we're going to do now, and this is the last thing we're going to do, and then I'm passing it to Patrick. The next thing that we're going to do is we're going to ask God if there's something he wants to heal amongst us this morning. So we've talked a little bit. What I do is I center myself again. Come, Holy Spirit. Papa, is there something that you want to heal this morning amongst us? And then we ask the next question, how? How do you want to do that? Did anybody get anything? Scott? What'd you get?
I heard a broken heart. And as far, and then asking how, by healing the hurt. So I asked how again. And got forgiveness.
Is there anybody in here that has a broken heart? Great. And so how God wants to, I see your hand, and how God wants to do that is forgiveness. So some people might not know how to do that. So if you want to, you can follow me. Just, you can say it in your heart, or your head, or you could say it out loud. Now, forgiveness does not mean that they get a hall pass. And unforgiveness, according to Scripture, binds you more than it does anybody else. The Lord says that if we choose not to forgive, He will give us over to the jailers and the tormentors. And that's when God is telling the parable of the king that forgives the servant, but the servant forgets to or refuses to forgive his fellow servant. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my broken heart before you and the walls that I've put up to protect myself. Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, I confess that my own protectors don't allow you to protect me. And my unforgiveness because of my heart towards blah, 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 blah hinders me from experiencing all of your goodness. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for harboring this and holding on to it. Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, I choose today to forgive blah, 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 blah. I choose to bless them, Lord, to encounter every bit of your goodness. I release them and bless them. They owe me nothing. And now, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father God, I give you all of my unforgiveness, my bitterness, my broken heart. And as I give it to you, Lord, what do you give me in exchange? Now listen. Write down what you get. Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you've given me. And I receive it into my spirit, soul, and my body. And I ask you to come and occupy the place where unforgiveness and a broken heart lived within me.
morning. Did anybody else hear anything that they'd like to share? Go ahead. If there's anyone here who's being touched by what he's saying, that you're having a response to it, that you're sharing in the pain, is pain okay? Could you just gather with him and Bruce and maybe pray? So as he's describing that, I'm feeling at least 2, 3, 4 other people who are responding to that. And you're not getting out of your chairs. So I want to challenge you by saying right now that the Lord is speaking to your heart. The Lord is speaking to your mind. How much longer are you going to wait? How many more days and years are you going to let go by without responding to the calling of the Lord? The Lord's speaking to you right now. Let's not waste any more time. We could easily spread what we're doing here today and take the whole afternoon up. And I'm going to say, don't leave until, if this is touching you, if this is opening your heart, don't leave until you've had a chance to pray with somebody about this or talk to somebody about this, because we want this to be real in your heart and your mind. You need to know that the Lord does talk to people, and the Lord does talk to you, and the Lord does cut through your confusion. And the mistake we often make is the same mistake the great prophet Elijah made in Kings 19:11. He was fed up with Israel, and he asked God to speak to him. And he was hiding in a cave in a mountain, and he asked the Lord to speak to him, and the Lord said, okay, go stand on the mountain, and my presence will pass by. There was a great and powerful wind which tore the mountain apart and shattered rocks and stones, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And I think that the mistake that I've made many times, and the mistake that many of us make, is that until there's a great fire or an earthquake or a shattering of stones, we don't think it's the voice of the Lord, that we want the Lord to come and overpower us. But that's not the way it works. After the earthquake came a fire, and after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a calm voice said to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? It's that calm, quiet voice, that patient, reflective voice that is so important to us. And we have to learn to trust that. It's very easy to test it, as Tab gave us some really great pointers. It's the idea, you know, is this good? Would the Lord really call me to forgive? I saw a beautiful example of this just this morning. I was watching a video on YouTube about near-death experiences. People who have died had some experience in the presence of the Lord in some mysterious way and came back. And a lot of people don't believe in these near-death experiences, but there have been thousands and thousands and thousands of them recorded in every culture and every religion and with atheists and non-atheists in every corner of the world for tens of thousands of years. This is a very special and uncommon, but a repeated experience. And this woman, I was watching her video this morning, and she was dead for, I think, a couple of hours before she came back. And while she was dead, her spirit, I mean, we're Christians, so we're going to interpret it that her spirit went up and was in the presence of Christ. And if you're a Christian and you read about these experiences, that's obviously what happens. I mean, it's so obvious. But in the presence of the Lord, she wanted to know, Lord, why am I blessed? What is it about me? And the Lord said, it's because you love. And she asked Jesus a very dangerous question. She said, Lord, what's the greatest thing I've done? And that to me is a really dangerous question. I don't know if I could ask that question. And the Lord showed her that when she was 13, she was volunteering at a summer camp that did outreach with kids with special needs. And one day there was this kid with CP who was very angry and very aggressive and didn't communicate well. And she just felt compassion for him. And she said that she had actually forgotten that she had done this. But on that afternoon, she felt compassion for him. So she sat with him and she gave him a glass of water. And he calmed right down. And he just sat with her. And it maybe 10 minutes. And the Lord pointed at that moment and said, that's the greatest thing you've done in your life. And when I heard that this morning, it just crushed me, because it's like some of us try so hard to be so great and do such amazing things, and we strive. But in this woman's life, the Lord said, that's my love. That's the beauty. So in our lives of trying to reach out and hear the Lord and do what the Lord is calling to us, sometimes it's as simple as just being kind. And sometimes that calm, small voice is saying things like, just hold the door open for somebody. Just say good morning. Just be kind. And when we open ourselves up to those small acts of service and we get better at listening, then the way the Lord moves through us will multiply and will increase. So I want to encourage you all to embrace that, to embrace that love, to embrace that calm, quiet voice in your heart. And I pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as an elder of this church, I pray that you would be anointed with the courage to not only hear, but to give yourself permission to believe and to step up and to step out and follow that and just see what happens. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather in your name today. Holy Spirit, come and rest upon us. And I bless you all in Jesus' name as you step out of this building and go off into your lives. If you have more to share, please just come forward. Otherwise, it's 10 to 12, so you can start filtering out. Feel free to go. Thank you.